Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. We're now going to be dealing with chapter number 13, Developing Spiritual Fruit. This is the last chapter of this particular course. And the objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to explain the different production levels of spiritual fruit and use the parallel of natural fruit production to explain how the fruit of the Spirit is developed in the life of the believer. Our key verse today is going to be found in John, the 15th chapter, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Introduction. The key verse for this chapter confirms it. It is God's desire that spiritual fruit be evident in your life. And this chapter provides guidelines for developing spiritual fruit. Production levels of fruit. There are different levels of fruit bearing evident in the lives of believers. John chapter 15 identifies various levels of fruit production. First off, we have fruit, which is John 15:2a, more fruit, John 15:2b, and much fruit, John chapter 15 verses 5 through 8, and permanent fruit, John 15:16. So God's desire is that you bear much spiritual fruit and that it is permanent. He wants you to be productive in the outer fruit of evangelism and the inner fruit of Christ-likeness. Natural and spiritual truths. The Bible contains important principles which you must identify in order to understand what God is saying to you through His Word. One of these principles is that of natural parallels of spiritual truths. The word parallel means to be similar or something or similar to something or to lay side by side. In a natural parallel of a spiritual truth, God uses a natural example to explain or represent a spiritual truth. The parables of Jesus were examples, natural examples of spiritual truths. For example, in one parable, he used the natural example of a woman searching intensely for a lost coin. He used this to illustrate the intense concern that we should have for men and women who are lost in sin. This is just one of the many examples of parables in which Jesus used natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. This principle of natural and spiritual parallels is explained in 1 Corinthians. We find that in 1 Corinthians 15, chapters 44 through 46, it says, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." So, in these verses, the Apostle Paul shared one of the greatest examples of a natural parallel of a spiritual truth. The first man created by God was the natural man, or Adam, and Jesus, who was called the last Adam, was a spirit. Adam was a natural parallel of the spiritual truth that God revealed through Jesus Christ. By the natural man came sin and death, and by the spiritual man came life, salvation and life. That which is natural is something you can observe with your senses. You can see, you can hear, you can touch it. That which is spiritual can only be observed with spiritual senses. Natural examples can be recognized with the spiritual senses. Their spiritual parallels can only be recognized through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Understanding this principle of natural parallels of spiritual truths results in new insights in the study of God's Word. Developing the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus used the term fruit of the Spirit as a natural parallel of a spiritual truth. Certain conditions are necessary to produce fruit in the natural world. These are spiritual parallels of things necessary for the production of spiritual fruit. In the natural world, as well as in the spiritual realm, there are specific conditions necessary to assure growth. These include the following. The first one is life. So the first requirement for development of the fruit of the Spirit is life. Just as life in the natural world comes through seed, life in the spiritual world came through the seed of Jesus Christ. In the first promise of a Savior to the world, Jesus was called a seed. We find that in Genesis 3:15. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In Jesus Christ, the seed is the life required to produce spiritual fruit. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. John 1:4. In John 5:26, it says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself." And John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." So that seed of life, Jesus Christ, must be living in you. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit if you do not have a personal relationship with him, because, according to Hosea 14:8, "From me is thy fruit found." Now the second one is water. Water is necessary to produce fruit in the natural world. Water is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. The water of the Holy Spirit is necessary to produce fruit in the spirit world. It quenches your spiritual thirst, and it brings spiritual growth. We find in John 7, 38-39, it says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But by this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And then also we find that in Isaiah 44:3, it says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." Another thing we need is light. In response to the light that stimulates growth in the natural fruit-bearing process, it is your response to the light of God's Word that produces the fruit of the Spirit. We find that in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, "This is the message which ye have heard of him, and I declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Another thing we need is air. Carbon dioxide is drawn in by the natural plant from the air which surrounds it. This is necessary for growth and fruit production. In the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is compared to air or wind. We find in John 3:8 in the Knox translation, it says, "The wind breathes where it will, and thou canst hear the sound of it, but knowest thou nothing of the way it came or the way it goes. So it is when a man is born on the breath of the Spirit." So the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing across your life is much like the wind in the natural world. It scatters the seeds of the Word of God. It separates the wheat from the chaff in your spiritual life and fans the dying coals of your spiritual zeal to set you ablaze for God. Another parallel is space. In Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. Competition for space choked out some plants, and the believer who develops spiritual fruit will discover that he must be set apart for the competition of the world. In Matthew 13:22, it says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So you are not to be conformed to the ways of this world. You are to be transformed or changed into the ways of God. We find that in Romans 12:2. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So God clears space around you. He sets you apart from the world to permit you to grow spiritually. In Hosea 14, verses 5 through 8, it says, "And he shall grow as the lily, and casts forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return, and they shall receive as the corn and grow as the vine, from me is the fruit found. Another one is the root system. Now, roots are necessary to anchor and supply nutrients to the plant. Psalms chapter 1 tells us how to develop the root system in our spiritual lives. We find that is in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Next we have rest. Dormancy or rest occupies a specific season in the natural growth cycle of plants. Dormancy is a period during which the plant may appear to be dead because there's no growth. It is a period of rest for the plant, and dormancy usually occurs right before a period of very rapid growth. In the natural world, God commanded times of rest for the land, and we found that in Leviticus 25:5. One of the purposes of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to bring spiritual rest and refreshing. The spiritual refreshing results in rapid growth in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 says, Let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you would seem to come short of it. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And also we find in Isaiah 28, verses 11 through 12, it says, For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. So another parallel is soil. Both in the natural and spiritual worlds, in order to produce fruit, the ground must be properly prepared. And in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, it was the condition of the soil that affected the growth of the seed. Your heart is like soil in the natural world. If your heart is hard and filled with things of the world that choke out the word of God, you will not bear spiritual fruit. It is your responsibility to prepare the spiritual soil of your heart and to respond properly to God's word. Hosea 10:12 says, Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Death. Every time you plant a seed to produce fruit, it does not come up to life unless it dies first. In John 12, chapter 24, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Also, we find in 1 Corinthians 15:36, in the Amplified Bible, it says, Every time you plant a seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up, and growing, unless it dies first. So spiritual life depends on death to the things of the world. It requires death to sin, worldly desires, and pleasures. Death to the world results in the development of the fruit of Christ-likeness in your life. Another thing is we have to be attached to the vine. In order to bear fruit in the natural world, a branch must be attached to the main plant. If the branch is broken off from the main life-giving vine, it will not bear fruit. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. In order to bear spiritual fruit, we must maintain our relationship to him. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Another example would be pruning. Pruning is necessary in the natural world if a plant is to remain productive and to bear fruit. When a farmer prunes a plant, he cuts off the unproductive branches in order to make the fruit plant produce more fruit. And he removes everything which would hinder the growth of the plant. Pruning is also necessary in the spiritual world because spiritual pruning is correction by God. The Bible also calls it chastisement. When God prunes, he removes from your life everything that would hinder your spiritual growth, and this process is necessary if you are to bear spiritual fruit. In John 15:2, it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Sometimes you do not reap the benefits of pruning because you blame Satan, when God is actually the one bringing circumstances in your life to correct or prune you. The purpose of God's correction is given in Hosea. In Hosea 6:1, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." The chastisement of pruning results in returning to God. Only by returning to him will you become spiritually productive and bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Climate. Climate is important in development of fruit in the natural world because many types of fruits are developed in environments that are specially controlled. They are grown in buildings called hothouses at specific temperatures, and they are protected from the real environment of the outside world. If you take a hothouse plant and move it outside, it soon will die because it has lived only in a controlled environment. It cannot withstand the environment of the real world. Spiritually speaking, we do not want hothouse Christians who look good in controlled settings but wilt on the contact with the real world. Spiritual fruit should be just as evident in our contacts with the world as it is in the controlled settings of Christian friends or of the church. That's it for this lesson and for this course. So please go ahead and do the chapter self-test and join me in the next course.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.